So I don't know, when you look back, this is the last Sunday of the year. When you look back, what do you see in this year? What has been your experience? Because this year has had its own share of challenges. For some of us, it carries with it the memories of the loved ones that we lost. For some of us, it is a reminder of the doctor's report that we didn't want to see. For some of us, maybe we look back and we have so many reasons to celebrate because it's been the best year of our lives. Some of us are just glad that it's almost over. And some of us are not sure what to expect. It's been a year with a share of its own challenges. But regardless of your particular experience, whether it's a painful one or a good one, I think one thing that we need to remind ourselves is that God is faithful. And why do we need to remind ourselves? Because the enemy wants us to forget. In fact, he wants us to think that he is uncaring and not as faithful as he claims to be. But also, because as Christians, we tend to take God's faithfulness for granted. So that's what we will be doing today. We will be reminding ourselves of God's unfailing faithfulness. Please turn with me to Psalm 107. The book of Psalms is actually in the middle of the Bible. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Oh, you already found it? Did you find Psalms or you found your Bible? You know, it can be intimidating when you are at a church and people, everyone is opening their Bibles and they're already there and you're still searching. You go back to the table of contents and you're still looking. You feel like you're not a Christian, right? And then you settle for Proverbs. Psalm 107 involves Israel's restoration from exile in Babylon. They were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar after disobeying the Lord. The Lord decided to use Babylon to punish his people. Most of you are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans that I have for you. So when Jeremiah is writing to this message, when God speaks to Jeremiah and Jeremiah writes this message to the exiles, those are the people that this psalm is talking about, who are restored. Many of them, some of them died there, but those who are restored are the ones that that Psalm 107 is addressing. So every time you read Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, not for evil, plans to give you a hopeful future." It's a verse that we all like. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When those words were being spoken, God's people were in exile. And they were praying for freedom. They wanted to return to Jerusalem. And God said, don't be in a hurry. You are going to stay there for a long time. I took you there for a reason, but I have a plan for you. God was saying to them, in other words, I will still accomplish what I want to accomplish regardless of what you are going through. Regardless of where you are. That's the message that Jeremiah was sending to God's people. So let's look at this text today, Psalm 107. It begins by saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He is good. His love endures forever. He never stops loving. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. This is my favorite part. The redeemed here refers to you and me, and anyone else who has experienced the saving grace of God. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. And then we are given groups of people that were delivered. The first group in verse 4, these were people who were confused and had gone astray. Confused, gone astray because of their disobedience. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. They were confused and had gone astray, wandered away because of their disobedience. But then they realized their wrong. They turned and cried out to God, and he heard their cry and delivered them from their distress. They were redeemed from their predicament. When he delivered them, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Now, hear what verse 8 says. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. These people who wandered away and turned and cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry and delivered them, they have a reason to be grateful. In fact, the Bible says they should be grateful, right? The second group, from verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners, suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. These were rebellious to God's word, to God's command, and they faced a punishment. They were being punished for their rebellion. So the Lord subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Verse 13. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. He set them free from the bondage of their own sins. Again, this is a group of people that were delivered. The second group, in 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities, because of their sins. These are the lost are being addressed here. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Verse 19. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. These ones were suffering because of their sinful lifestyle. These are lost, the lost. What is the Bible telling us here? At least as far as those three groups are concerned. They are all suffering because of their disobedience, because of turning away from the Lord, because of rejecting his word, because of rebelling against him. And the Bible tells us those people, when they cry to the Lord, when they realize their sin, they realize their brokenness and cry to the Lord, he hears them. It tells us that each one of us here, when we fall away and realize that we have fallen away and turn to the Lord and cry, he will hear us and rescue us. It tells us that God is always willing to receive those who turn to him, regardless of how far we may think we have fallen. There is a fourth group. In verse 23. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This group of people are those that suffer for nothing, even though they have done nothing wrong. This represents most Christians. You're trying to your best to be faithful to the Lord. You are doing everything that you know God expects you to do. And then still, you find yourself facing a storm. You get sick. There is inflation and all your savings are wiped away. You receive a doctor's report that is discouraging. Your relationships fall apart. A loved one dies. A baby. A miscarriage. And you know, when Christians go through these things, they have questions. One of the questions we ask is, why is this happening? What have I done? Because you know you have been, you've been diligent. You've tried your best to be and do what God expects you to do. And yet you see your children wandering away from the Lord. You pray for them. You've raised them up the best way you could as a Christian father, a Christian mother. And as they grow up, you see them wandering away from the Lord. You see your grandchildren wanting nothing to do with your faith. And you're asking yourself, why? And God is saying, even those who find themselves suffering and they have done nothing wrong, when they turn to Him and cry, He will hear them. And the best thing that you can do if you are in a position like that is to turn to the Lord and cry to Him, is to realize that the Lord is the source of your help. And you will find your comfort and your joy when you decide to rely on Him. Yes, the enemy will want you to focus on what is happening. The enemy will want you to focus on your pain and everything that is going on wrong. And God wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to keep relying on Him. He wants us to know that He is the source of our help. When we cry to Him, He will hear us and He will deliver us from our distress. You know, at times God may take us from the problem. At times He may walk with us through the problem. This is what Psalm 23 says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He recognizes that a time comes in life when you face deep darkness. And when that happens, you are strong because of the Lord that is with you. When that happens, you can still endure because you are not enduring alone. Sometimes He takes us from the problem. Sometimes He walks with us through the problem. It is His way of delivering us from our distress. That's why I say every time we turn to the Lord in prayer, we bring our requests to Him with one hand, and on the other hand, we are ready to receive what He has for us. The Israelites were praying to be released from Babylon, and God said, prepare for a long stay. He said to them, marry and build houses. And give your sons and daughters to marriage. Because you are going to stay there for a long time. And pray for the prosperity of that city, because when it prospers, you will also prosper. For I know the plans I have for you. So, for anyone who is listening to us this morning, regardless of your experience, regardless of where you are at this point, amen. When you turn to the Lord and cry out to Him, He will hear you. That is what this psalm tells us about ourselves. The idea of crying here, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the idea of crying here reveals a sorrowful heart that is willing to turn to the Lord. A sorrowful heart that is willing to turn to the Lord. It reveals someone who has realized that this kind of lifestyle that I'm living is not pleasing to God, and becomes sorrowful because of that, and that sorrow causes him or her to turn to the Lord for salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You turn to Christ for salvation when you realize that you are a sinner. When you realize that you have lived a life that is unpleasing to God, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and that if you died without Christ, you would go to hell. And that makes you sorrowful, because you also realize that this same God that you are disobeying still loves you. And if you love someone truly, when they do something wrong, it will make them sorrowful. Do you know why we say sorry? Some of us think saying sorry is asking for forgiveness, right? Saying sorry simply means that you don't like what you did. You feel sorrowful. That sorry comes from sorrowful. You are sorrowful for what you have done. That's what it means. If you want to be forgiven for that, you need to take another step. Okay, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And every time we are asking for forgiveness, It comes with the indication that we don't want to do what we've done again. That doesn't mean you won't do it, but that should be the attitude. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. It causes one to turn to God for forgiveness. And you know, repentance is a change of mind. You are turning from a sinful lifestyle to Christ. With the idea and the desire and the willingness to continue in that new lifestyle. That doesn't mean you won't stumble, but that's what it means. And there is no salvation without repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. For a believer, when the idea of crying here reveals our willingness to trust and rely on the Lord. To trust and rely on the Lord. This is one of the challenges that believers face every day. Trusting and relying on the Lord. Because we are so self-centered. We like being in control. We like relying on ourselves. And sometimes God allows experiences in our lives to teach us to trust Him and to rely on Him. So, what does this text tell us about the Lord? This is going to be easy for you to remember. It tells us that the Lord is faithful. His love endures forever. He is faithful. He will hear when we call on Him. He will accept us when we turn to Him. And He will restore us when we rely on Him. He will hear us when we call. He will accept when we turn to Him. And He will restore us when we rely on Him. What does this tell us? It tells us that the difficulties that we experience provide us a platform to experience God's faithfulness. Remember those four groups. Everything they faced gave them an opportunity to experience God's faithfulness. They cried out to Him. He heard their cry. This changes how we look at life. It changes how we interpret our circumstances. It changes how we respond to the difficult things that we face in this world. Because every difficult for a Christian is an opportunity to experience the faithfulness of God. It also tells us that all the struggles that we face in this world will not stop God from accomplishing what He wants to accomplish. Because He is faithful. God is so faithful that He cannot deny Himself. Faithfulness is not something that He does. It is who He is. He remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. And therefore you can trust and you can rely on Him. So how should we respond to this kind of God? How should we respond to it? We respond by worshiping Him. When you hear worship, what comes to your mind? Music? What comes to your heart, to your mind, Pauline? Yeah, but what comes to your mind when you hear worship? What's worship happens when we recognize and appreciate God's faithfulness. When we recognize and appreciate God's faithfulness. Worship is a response. It is a response to who God is and to what He has done, what He is doing, and what we believe He will do. Worship is a response. And we can worship Him through many ways. But in this text, there are two ways that have been given to us. You look at verse 1. It says, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. You look at verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Verse 15 and 21 and 31, the same. And then you look at verse 32, it says, let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. Number one, we worship Him by giving Him thanks and praises. That's one. We thank Him and we praise Him. We thank Him because of what He has done. We praise Him because of what He is doing. We praise Him because of what we expect Him to do in our lives. Give thanks and praises to the Lord. That's one way that we worship. And number two, look at verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. We tell our story. We worship the Lord when we tell our story. Because every time, if you are a believer, when you are telling your story, you are actually telling God's story. It's no longer your story. You are no longer writing your story. It is God who is writing your story. Things changed when Jesus moved into your life. He took control. You are no longer living for yourself. So when you are talking about you, Christ is part of that story. He will always be part of that story if you are a believer. And that's one way we point people to Christ. That's one way we exalt Him in our lives. That's one way we worship Him. Because we are giving Him the glory. And most of us don't tell our story. Most of us tell other people's stories. It's that it is easier for Christians to share other people's stories. Bad stories. It's called gossiping. If you've ever gossiped, that reveals that you have the ability to tell a story. At least you have that ability. You're just not using it well. Why don't you use that ability for God's glory by telling your story? Let us hear about you and Jesus. See, there was a time in your life when you were writing your own story. I'm talking to believers here. You are writing your own story. And you realized that you are a very bad writer. And therefore you looked for help. You cried out to the Lord for help. He stepped in and he said, give me your pen. We are opening a new page. We are starting over. And he began to write that story with you. Every time you talk about yourself, if you are a believer, make sure you are glorifying God. And that is one way of worship. When you go out, those of you that serve the homeless, and if you're not doing it for the Lord, it's not worship. It's called charity. Anyone can do that. Muslims do it. Hindus do it. Any sinner can do good things. But they won't amount to anything to the Lord. You have to see it as worship. Doing it for His glory. And if it is for His glory, then the people that you are serving will also know that you are serving them because of Him. Because you will always point them to Him. Give thanks and praises and tell your story. Let me finish with 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. God has chosen you. He has made you a royal priesthood. That means you have access to Him. But you're also a holy nation. He set you apart for Himself. He owns you. And this is the reason. He says that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. He saved us. He redeemed us. He delivered us so that we may worship Him. The reason we evangelize, the reason we share our message with those who are lost, the reason we pray for sinners is because God is looking for people who will worship Him. The Great Commission is there because of worship. We are calling people to this God so that they may worship a true God. That's why He redeemed us. He did not redeem us so that we may feel good about ourselves, but so that we may worship Him. And therefore, as a Christian, you want to keep on asking yourself, when you are making those decisions that you make, are you really glorifying God? Is that your goal, to glorify God or to make yourself feel good about yourself? You know, I woke up this morning. I woke up at about 4. And I looked outside, and it was very discouraging. I was tempted to go back to sleep, but I needed to do some studies. So I went on and did my studies. And then at around 6, I went out to just clear the ramp and clear the car and all that. And in my mind, I'm saying, why am I doing all this? I could go back to my bed and sleep. In fact, I don't know why, but when you sleep in on Sunday, it feels so good. It's different from other days. But then I realized I'm not doing this for me. And then God convicted me this morning when I came here. While we were arriving with my wife, I saw Elaine driving. And Elaine is back there with a red jacket. For those of you who don't know her. Is it okay if I say your age, Elaine? Elaine is 84 years. And I saw her driving in the car. And I'm like, what was I thinking? And to tell you the truth, Elaine is one of the people that God has used to really bless me. From the time we reopened after the pandemic, she never stopped coming. She's one of the people that I wouldn't even ask if she said, I'm staying at home today. But she will always show up. And I look at her and I'm saying, wow, this has everything to do with her love and her relationship with the Lord. And today, yeah, I was convicted when I saw her. Can we just try our best and may God help us to do everything we do intentionally to glorify Him. Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your faithfulness. As this year comes to an end, we want to look and rely on you. We want to remind ourselves that you are faithful and that we can trust you. And Lord, you know each one of us. You know where we are coming from. You know where we are going, even though some of us may not be so sure about the future. We know you are already there, and therefore we can trust you. On behalf of your people, Lord, who are represented here, and those who are joining us online, I pray that you may fill them with your peace and comfort. And Lord, that when the enemy tries to bring in evil thoughts, thoughts of discouragement and despair, that you may remind them that you are faithful. And that they can trust in you. I don't know exactly the plans that you have for each one of us, but I know that you mean well. May your will be done, Lord, and may you enable us to accept it. In Jesus' name, amen.